I'm excited and I feel relaxed and I'm ready to party!
Welcome to the podcast of those two girls.
Here we go.
Welcome to today's podcast. Continuing on from yesterday's podcast, Lise, have you found a way for us to travel to, is it Bogan Gate?
Bogan Gate. It's
the Bogan Festival.
It's on the central coast of New South Wales.
God's country.
Okay, it's saying that from where we are, it's a 10-hour and 34-minute drive, guys. It's 6 hours north of Sydney.
Do you have a caravan still?
Sydney. No. Sydney.
I don't think I could deal.
It's south of Dubbo. It's along the same line as Orange, but further inland.
Okay, what's the town?
Bogan Gate.
Oh, that's right.
Duh.
As Billie Eilish says.
So it's a big drive. Damn. I mean, look, we could fly into.
Okay, that dream's over. Here's the best of today's show.
You're listening to those two girls.
Here we go. Sarah's yawning face is something to behold.
Well, you yawned. That set me off. I mean, you were sitting there with your mouth agape going like, ha, ha, ha.
Yes, as I yawn, I must expel sound.
Like she's winded.
Yours is like, I'm about to call the paramedics.
I think when I yawn, I end up going into a massive underbite. So I'm like, ooh.
Hey, I have an incredible new term that's made its way into the Urban Dictionary. And it's a term that you and I need to have in our repertoire because we've been talking about it for the past 3 weeks in regards to our husband's facial hair and how much we love where they're going with it. I mean, my husband Dane has grown almost a full beard at this stage while he's on annual leave. Mm. Your husband is rocking the
he often
shadow.
Does. He often grows it to that and then shaves it off. And I'm always like, please don't, please keep it.
It's
rugged and masculine and that you've got enough testosterone to grow this bushy beard.
Yes, it's like, yes, the pheromones.
Does Dane seem wiser to you now? Like when he talks, are you like, yes? Nope.
He's just really hot right now. Anyway, get your ears around this term. It's called shave ducking. Now, the definition of shave ducking is when you're not sure if you're attracted to a man or if you're just attracted to his facial hair. As a girlfriend or wife of a man who has just shaved off quite an impressive beard, this is the author of this little article, I am so relieved there is a term for that hour of my life where I was seriously reconsidering my relationship. Here's the advice that the author gives. Make a decision on this one in 3 to 6 working days. When your dude starts looking like himself again, or at the very least, he stops stunning you every time you open your eyes.
Yes, it was like on Married at First Sight when that guy Sam had a beard and then all of a sudden we saw him unshaven.
Yes!
And it was like, what? How is that the
that
same
was
person?
So shocking.
As a nation, there was shave ducking happening there.
Shave ducking. There you go. Word for the day.
So, Scott, if you decide to grow a beard
you
one
can't
day.
Talked Scott about
this
can't
no,
grow
that you might one day when you
me?
Grow up know that this will happen with your girlfriend. And you've got the perfect term for it.
I get it. I'm not manly enough for
I
you
think
guys.
Maybe if Scott's girlfriend doesn't shave her legs, he can use the word shave ducking.
Just attracted to her leg hair. It was like, so hot.
Over the weekend, I was at a picnic with a group of people and chat started to go towards interesting jobs. Mm. Okay. So everyone was putting in their little 2 cents about someone they knew with an interesting job. Obviously, I came up.
I know. I was like, where is this going? You just wanted to talk about yourself.
No.
Is that where the picnic was going? Oh, and by picnic, it was just like you had people over so they could talk to you about you.
I had actually set the picnic up outside the radio station.
Oh my God. Also, who has a picnic? How lame.
Okay, that's a whole other talk break. Anyway, one of the party said, hey, I know a trauma cleaner. Okay.
Like a crime scene cleaner?
Well, that's exactly what I thought. God, I guess there's a lot of crimes that happen.
A forensic cleaner.
More than that, hoarding cleaning.
Shut up, that's my
okay.
dream.
Okay. And also, a lot of their work is like people who've died in their homes or what have you.
Terrible.
And their houses need to be cleaned out.
Or if there's been a murder. It's a murder, isn't it? A murder scene.
But it could just be like someone old who's dropped off the perch and they haven't, you know, found them for a couple of days or what have you.
Oh.
I mean, this is all very morbid, but...
But interesting.
Interesting. What's more interesting is apparently trauma cleaners rake in the cash because obviously they're doing a job that regular Jobos like blows. Like, there is no way...
No, because
you
it's
would
very
get
graphic.
Me in there because they have to be the... kings and queens of cleaning. We're talking bio waste.
Yes.
Hazardous materials.
Well, they wear like...
Working in with like crime scene investigations if it's one of those type
and
cleans.
They wear like hazmat. Full hazmat suits because they'd be coming across like bodily matter and
yes.
And all of that. Remember that telly show with the chick from Offspring, Kat Stewart and Sean McAuliffe? They did an Aussie TV show called Mr. and Mrs. Murder and they were two
vaguely.
Trauma cleaners, a married couple that were trauma cleaners but who... were moonlighting as investigators because they were working so much on crime scenes, they started picking up bits and pieces. It was a fun TV show, but I remember going, I can't believe that's a job, but of course it is.
It is a job and there is money to be made.
How much money?
I don't even like doing my kids' bathroom.
Yeah, but how much money are we talking?
We're talking like tens of thousands of dollars a week.
A week?
Mm-hmm.
That cannot be real.
Well, that's what I was told. It could be secondhand information.
You?
Well, the friend of a friend who is a trauma cleaner.
Who is a trauma cleaner.
Yes.
So, I mean, are you picking up what I'm
Do you want
down?
To ditch this geek and start?
A crime scene cleaner in Australia earns an average salary of $62,000.
No,
a week.
No, I wouldn't believe that, Scotty.
No way.
There is no, well, you would be.
The internet said it.
Listen, you would be exposed to so much traumatic stuff mm-hmm. that is not enough money. They'd be getting trauma pay. They'd be exposed to hazardous materials. That is not. Someone find us a trauma cleaner.
All right, this doesn't end there. We are going to investigate trauma cleaners.
You know what? Slide into our DMs at Lise and Sarah.
On Instagram.
On Instagram. Sure. Or find us on Facebook, whatever. I don't even know what we're called there. Those two girls at Lise and Sarah, whatever. And if you are a trauma cleaner, can you, like, we won't have time to chat to you today, but we will have time to chat to you at some point.
Yes, I would love to hear your stories.
Also, send us your tax return so you can prove how much money you make.
Also, if there's an opening, we got a lot of time
we'll
on
take
this show.
Also, if anyone wants to talk about interesting jobs, I'm here.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
A woman in China has had to go to hospital following a viewing of Avengers Endgame, that new massive blockbuster that everybody's talking about. She was so upset by how the movie ended that she cried and cried and cried to the point of hyperventilation.
Oh, wow.
Could not breathe, had to go to hospital because this movie upset her so much. It traumatized her to the point of hospital admission. I mean, yes, she's a twit, but also we can all relate to movies that have traumatized us.
Oh, for sure.
Right. For me, I'm going to kick it off with Arachnophobia. I remember watching it. It was the movie to watch in the early 90s. I think it was one of the very first sleepover movies that I ever watched.
So you saw it at someone else's house?
Yes.
Is that what you mean?
Yes. And it's a movie about spiders.
Okay. I haven't seen it.
No.
Because I was still watching the Babysitter's Club episodes while you were watching Arachnophobia. Although in saying that, I saw Piranha...
Okay.
At a late night family barbecue thing.
Okay.
And I, to this day, cannot put my legs over in any kind of open water.
Still.
For fear that there is going to be something that nibbles at my toes and feet.
There was also this movie in the late 80s about Jesus's crucifixion. Okay. I remember the day like it was yesterday, Sarah.
I'm guessing you weren't watching that for fun.
No, I was 8 years old. I remember the house that we lived in. It was a green house with like bricks.
Okay, that's good.
Bricks with green features.
Were you living
and
in like Willy Wonka's chocolate?
I think I mean like green guttering. You know, remember those houses
in
the
80s? Was your name Hansel and Gretel and was there a witch at the door that you shoved her into the fire?
Wait, let me be my counsellor for a second because it was deeply traumatising.
Apart from walking into the front door.
I remember where I was standing and it was Good Friday and there was a movie. And there were only four channels back in those days, yes. Wasn't there, Sarah? Yes. And on one of this chat, and every channel had some sort of crucifixion movie on. And Mum and Dad said, look, this is interesting. This is important on Good Friday. As good Catholics, we're going to watch it. And as my eight-year-old eyes turned to the screen, it was the scene where Jesus was fixed to the cross by nails, and the nails were driven deep into the palms of his hand, and blood spurted out.
God.
And I remember the crown of thorns, they pushed it onto his head.
Oh.
And I just remember bursting into tears and saying, it's too much, and my heart was so
pained. Said, Mum and Dad, I just wanted to eat fish tonight.
It was so deeply traumatising, Sarah. There are movies like that that you just never forget.
That stays with you. Do you get nervous in the shed when Dane says, come down to the shed, and there are hammer and...
Sarah, don't bring the shed up. You know that
I mean,
Dane
where would
and
you
sh- don't go there.
Where would you find
that
nail?
Is X-rated.
So are we talking about the shed or...
There's...
We nails in the
about.
Shed. I'm so confused. Aaron, our producer, has admitted that the Haunted Mansion with Eddie Murphy was a movie that traumatized.
How can a movie Eddie with Murphy's Eddie hilarious. Murphy? He's a donkey on Shrek, for the love of God. How can he be terrifying?
Do you know what mine was?
What?
Marley and Me.
Oh, that is...
Oh, you've gone the emotional one, the one about the dog, right?
But like... crying for hours afterwards kind of thing.
It is so sad.
Crippling.
The first movie I ever went to with my dad was Braveheart. I think it was the first MA movie, so I was definitely 15, and Mum and Dad had seen it, and Mum said, take Sarah along. I was crying so much. I was almost like that lady in China at the beginning of this very long-winded story who went to hospital for hyperventilating. Dad had to calm me down in the car park afterwards, that whole story of William Wallace, because he was like, are you right, Sarah?
And was it at that point that your father just looked to the heavens and thought, why didn't God give me a son?
On, when was it? Tuesday, Arvo.
Yeah.
I said that my eldest could try some Hubba Bubba bubble gum. Right? So she's 8. And there's been a little cluster of her friends at school who are trying to blow bubbles.
Yes.
And you remember that was such a sense of achievement, right? When you could actually...
It's not easy.
No.
It's certainly not easy to explain to someone how to do that.
That's right. So anyway, so I bought a stick of gum and I gave her half a piece. And then my little 5-year-old said, can I have some too? And I said, you're a bit young, but all right, just chew it. And whatever you do, do not swallow the gum.
Mm.
Why not, Mum? Isn't it just food? I said, no. If you swallow gum, it stays in your stomach for 7 years. Mm. Okay, now that was what was told to me when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Technically, I know it's not true. I know that things are passed through the system within 24 to 48 hours. But
that's right.
There's still a little part of me as an adult that if I swallow a piece of extra, I think, oh, God, it's collecting
you're
in
doomed.
There somewhere. It's not going to come out until I'm 45. Okay. Now.
27.
Sure. So anyway, they were at home and they were chewing away furiously. My 8-year-old nailed the bubble. Mom, look at this. Yes, you're going so well. And I made them lunch. And I made a peanut butter sandwich. And all of a sudden I look over and my 5-year-old's crying into her peanut butter sandwich.
Because of the dietary choices you make for your children. I mean, Hubba Bubba and peanut butter, wow.
That was a healthy day.
That was good.
Okay, please. I gave them a banana. And I said, oh, darling, what's wrong? And she said, I swallowed the gum. I forgot, Mum. And I said, oh, dear. And she said, it's going to be in there for 7 years. And I said... Look, no, it's all right. Like, you will poo it out in a couple of days. It's all right.
I lied to you.
And then the final line was, I don't think I'm old enough for this responsibility.
You know.
Don't give me any more gum, Mum.
There's so much pressure. But, you know, my 5-year-old son, I gave him a piece of chewy on the plane the other day on our return from Fiji. Remember how I went to Fiji?
Yeah, I do remember how you went to Fiji.
Anyway.
How long was it? For about 8 months?
Anyway, I said to him, don't swallow it, okay? Just chew it. Do not swallow. Same exact instructions as you've given to your youngest. Neck minute, like literally 20 seconds later, there's no chewing action happening. And I said, Maxie, where's the chewing gum? And he said, in my tummy. And I said, I told you not to swallow it. And he said, I didn't, Mum. I ate it. clearly doesn't know what swallow means. No clue. I was like, what do you think swallow means, you idiot?
That's the kind of supportive mother she is. And then you said, 7 years in your stomach, you fool.
How does a child not know what swallow means?
I don't know, but what a way.
It's your child.
I don't. Listen. Whatever.
Do you not use two-syllable words with your kids?
I mean, he employs 3 to 4 syllable words on good days.
What a way to end the family holiday to Fiji. You idiot. Don't you know what swallow means on the economy flight back to Australia?
We were in the back row too, like arse end of economy.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Scott, you just revealed that you have the box set of A Country Practice.
Yes, of course
I do. Which tells
doesn't everyone.
Lise and I that you were a lover of 90s television shows.
How old
shows
was Scotty in the 90s? How old were you, Scott?
Well, I was born in 89.
So oh, yeah. What the hell were you doing watching Country Practice?
I guess I just had good taste.
Well, as a 4-year-old.
He still loves anything with a wombat in it.
Just like... dun, dun, dun.
Okay, so, let's play this game, guys. We're playing a 90s ad game where Sarah and I think, what's happening?
Here we go. Because can you remember, like, an episode of Country Practice would come on, then you'd have to sit through the ads. As a nation, we all saw the same ads.
Yeah.
And we can still...
I know them all.
They're embedded in a part of my brain that is just says 90s
all right,
jingles.
So I've got a couple of, like, really big 90s jingles. Mm-hmm. You just got to jump in. I'm going to start playing them. First one to jump in. When you work out what each one is, like, I guess that makes you the winner. This is more for fun. Let's do it. Okay. Your first jingle.
Oh. Tony.
4811111 Amazing. I feel like everywhere around Australia had their own localised number.
Yes, I remember 3892111 for a second there.
Yes.
I wonder what unlucky sods ended up with that number now.
What if we actually called the numbers that were in those jingles back in the day?
All right, are you ready for jingle number 2?
Yes. That's what I want. Oh.
It's a bit funky.
I can see it.
Feels a bit Big Brother.
I want to dream world. Shivers.
There's a movie. Let's
go. Well, it's
movies. Oh. Blockbuster. Video easy.
I thought I got it right with Dreamworld.
Skip to a movie.
And Coil, KCC, Sarah.
Oh, it was bought out by Hoyts, wasn't it?
All right, hold on. I got two more here. This one's a bit of fun. This one's fun.
Are you hungry, my hearties?
Aye, aye, Captain Birdseye.
I'll sing you a song.
Song of the sea. Birdseye, fish fingers.
I wanted to be one of those kids.
Something, something.
Didn't you want to be cast on that ad?
Fish fingers.
There we go. All right, I want to do one more. These are 90s TV ad jingles to see who can actually remember them. This one's going to be a lot of fun. This is a sing along. You ready?
Oh, yeah.
My dad picks the fruit that goes to Cotties.
To make cordial. That's right, it was a bit offbeat there.
I like this.
Key change.
My picks the fruit
that goes to
Cotties. To make cordial.
Boom, boom, boom.
That I like best.
Key change.
My dad picks the fruit that goes to Cotties.
Yes,
they climb
up the hills.
Kids deserve Cotties cordials.
There you go. Yeah.
Kids deserve Cotties cordials.
Well, those were the days, weren't they?
Who won?
It's still a party drink for me.
Who won?
I don't know if anyone really won.
You know what? If you grew up in the 90s, you're a winner. That's it.
Wow, there it is.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Just so you know, while you were listening to the best of today's show, Lise was chucking a temper tantrum about how we as a show never do anything fun.
Well, I mean, why couldn't
we? And write in the comments if you think that's the case.
As we're not going on the bloody Kookaburra Queen.
Yeah, why won't you let us go on the Kookaburra Queen, Mum?
I'm still up for that.
Yeah, Lise, you're the naysayer of the Queen. By the way, if you don't know what it is, it's a paddle steamer.
It's 12 o'clock, and he's like, "Oh, the kids finish school at 3, but they don't get home from the bus until 4:30."
Please,
four.
You've been blocking.
All right. Well, we'll go. Today, also, we're not going today also, on the Kookaburra. Can't go it's today. Rainy.
Also, could we ever arrange? It's a paddle steamer that goes up and down
the
Brisbane
River. Oh, God, he's thrown a beanbag.
But they have a buffet. Could we arrange for your boys to come with?
Oh, no, that's not fun.
That's not fun.
Having children.
I'd enjoy it.
Having children at those kind of things is not fun
also,
because
guys,
it means you've got
know.
To be in mum mode.
I could see Remy. I would say to Remy, you know, people back in the olden days used to use the back of paddle steamers as like a treadmill. You should give it a shot. See if you can.
Guys, I don't know how I feel, where I stand ethically on buffets anymore. I feel it's a gross display of consumption.
Oh my gosh.
And why is I'm not pulling
out.
My head in. I'm out. Whatever. In, out,
you're
whatever, wherever it needs to go.
From buffets.
Because I feel them. I don't want it to go to waste.
No, we're done. All right. See you tomorrow.
Well, that was a podcast of Those Two Girls.